be honest with you, I wear the fact it took me 11 years to build my airplane as a badge of honor. But, you know, in the big scheme of things, I was more assembler than builder, I have to admit. Kits today have pre-punched holes if they're aluminum and the parts are cut just right. It's work, but we can debate whether it's in the same orbit as the days of yore of home building, where you really were, for the most part, on your own. My next guest today is the builder of a Dyke Delta, a spaceship-looking design that's celebrating 50 years today. And for about 39 of those years, Alan White was building one. He flew it into Oshkosh for the first time back in 2010. How you doing?
Great. Thanks, Bob.
Yeah, it's great to see you. Your plane is parked right over here in a place of honor, as I think it should be, right outside the Home Builders Center. That's got to feel pretty good.
It does. It helps to have the designer, who is still very active in EAA, volunteering at Home Builders Headquarters. He makes sure we get a place of honor.
Yeah.
And by coming in early on the week before the air show, it makes it even easier.
Yeah. How'd you pick this plane to build?
At the time, I was young and naive. I had a young family. I wanted a four-passenger airplane that was fast, so the family could use it for travel.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, we had the choice, basically, of the BD-4, which is a conventional-looking airplane, and the Dyke Delta. And I guess I just wanted to be obnoxiously standoffish, and I picked the one that looked the strangest.
It had to have looked futuristic in 19, and I've got to quickly do my math here, when you started building, 60.
I started March of 1971.
1971. It looks futuristic for 1971. It looks futuristic for 2012.
It does. When I land at a fly-in, mm-hmm. at a breakfast or anything, I can't get away from the airplane.
Yeah.
There are always people all the way around asking questions, wondering, is this a brand new kit?
Right.
Because there's not that many of them.
Yeah. Did you build it in your garage? How'd you build it up? Were you always in Superior?
I was always, from the beginning, I was in Superior, or the Superior area. I was living in a triplex apartment when I first got the drawings, and the owner allowed me to use the basement, which was the laundry room and that sort of thing.
Yeah.
To start, when the project got too big for that, I bought a garage, and a house came with it.
Mm-hmm.
So then I had to remodel the house to satisfy the financial director, and the project kind of slowed for a couple of years. Then I got back on the track. At the same time in Superior, there was a gentleman building a ferro cement boat about 8 blocks away. We had a sailboat.
Yeah.
There was a circle tour that the residents would take every weekend to check progress on the boat that looked like an airplane,
right.
or an anchor rather, and the airplane that looked like a boat.
No pressure. They're coming by every weekend.
They're coming by, saying hi.
Yeah. It's a plans-built plane, right?
Yeah, it's strictly plans-built. You have a material list on one page that tells you all of the material you're going to need and the quantities, and you go out and order the parts off that.
Right. And were you a pretty good builder to begin with? Did you ever build anything like a plane?
I grew up on a farm. Yeah. I could fix things that broke. I could, I had a basic welding knowledge with arc welding. It took some practice to switch over to thin wall with the torch, but it wasn't that big of an issue. The project led me, after about 5 years, to obtain my airframe and power plant mechanics license,
mm-hmm.
working with a repair station at the airport where I was looking for parts and whatnot.
Yeah.
I then got my inspection authorization and made a career out of aviation with my own shop, which I recently rented the hangar.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still doing a little bit of work for longtime customers, but trying to learn how to say no so I can enjoy flying the airplane around.
Yeah. At some point, was there no progress being made on the plane?
There were a couple of periods of 10 to 12 years, mm-hmm. where nothing got done. At times, I'd be working two jobs and had plenty of money to spend on the airplane, but no time to work on it.
Mm-hmm.
And other times, when the economy was bad, I would have all kinds of time and not be willing to spend the money might be needed later on. So those, you know, that accounts for 20 years. The longer you spend on a project, I think everyone will find that you dream up things you want to do differently or things that you aren't satisfied with the workmanship. Yeah. You want to do it better. And I probably redid about 30% of the work on the airplane.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that. Now, you know, over the course of 39 years, aviation, technology, everything changes, right? And so you're kind of locked in and had to rejigger a few things, right?
Exactly. Initially, I built the airplane based on a fixed-pitch propeller, 180-horsepower engine, as the drawings called for. I then decided probably about 25 years in that I really wanted a constant speed. That makes the nose heavy. Mm-hmm. I went back in to the tail section, put a trimming surface up on the tail to help take some of the trim load off the elevons, and which entailed recovering vertical stabilizer again and getting into the belly and welding in pulleys and getting the cable set up for the trim actuators. Four years before I finished, I learned about the Whirlwind composite propeller, which saves 30 pounds over the normal constant speed. Put that on, which unfortunately is not allowed on the engine that I had.
Yeah. So, now you got an engine mount problem, too.
The
probably,
engine
right?
mount is different. Yeah. The engine itself is different. I had to buy a different engine, redo the engine mount. Modify the cowling because the propeller has a 3-inch hub extension and it allows for a much more streamlined cowling.
Yeah.
But all of that went pretty well and comfortably once I quit driving school bus. I was driving school bus. I had a back injury from a number of years back. The bus started aggravating that to the point where I couldn't function comfortably. And I was able to get a partial disability.
There's a lot of people that would have given up at some point, but you didn't. What's the difference between you and them?
I'm furiously stubborn about some things. I was tempted on a couple of occasions. There were people that either wrote or called. So are you interested in selling it? Mm-hmm. The big thing is I knew I would get about half of my investment back. If that.
Yeah.
The other thing was, it was a dream. My family, my wife was unbelievably supportive. Every time we came to Oshkosh, she would comment all the way home, are you going to get to work on that airplane and finish it? I don't like sitting in this car for that long.
It's a big thing. You know?
Yeah, and the support of my family was incredible.
Yeah. Tell me about the designer.
John Dyke was an engineer at Wright-Patterson Air Force Base. He decided he wanted an affordable airplane that he could tow home on its own wheels without having to have a trailer,
mm-hmm.
haul his family, and store in a single-stall garage. The only way he could make enough room in an airplane to haul the family was to come up with a large flying wing that would still end up 8 feet wide if you cut it in thirds. That was the JD-1 back in the 59, I believe, 60. That airplane flew. It went to Rockford. It was destroyed in a garage fire. When he rebuilt it, he increased the size slightly to make it an actual four-place airplane with the three-passenger bench across the back and the larger engine, streamlined it a little bit more, and that's the airplane that still has drawings available today.
When you finally finished this plane and you had your first flight, was it what you expected?
It was more than I expected.
Really?
It was more than I had hoped. I had no discomfort. I had a little apprehension when I got to 5 feet off the runway. By the time I got to 50 feet, I realized that everything was working just like I expected it to. I had ridden in John's airplane and two others in the back seat back in the 70s here at Oshkosh. And so I knew the what the airplane, what the view was from the cabin. I knew how it felt in the air, and everything felt just exactly that way, except that I had a lot better use of the horsepower because of the constant speed prop.
It zips along pretty good?
It does. At optimum altitude, 7,000 to 8,000 feet, full throttle, 75% power. It trues out at 166 knots and roughly 8.5 gallons an hour.
Where are you going to go next?
I gotta check the finances. I've mentored a young gentleman who is graduating from the Naval Academy next Memorial Day. He has invited me to the graduation. I'd love to fly the airplane out there. I just had to spend a bunch of money on the engine due to a defect in an oil hose.
Yeah.
And I don't know if I'm going to have all that paid off in time to do that comfortably.
Yeah.
But that's one of the next trips I want to take.
Well, as a longtime builder, but not as long as you took. You're still one of my heroes, man. Thanks for coming in.
You're very welcome.
What a pleasure.
Enjoyed it.
Alan White talking about his Dyke Delta and the design. And coming up, we're going to talk about what we experimental pilots can do to fly safer.